A focus today on housing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. New construction of homes and apartments fell to a record low last month. The Commerce Department says construction dropped 16% in January. That's much more than economists had expected. Applications for building permits, which is considered a good barometer of future activity, also fell to a record low. But applications for home loans shot up 45%, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. Apparently, a lot of people are looking at refinancing. Fixed rates have dropped below 5%. President Obama turns his attention to homeowners today. He's set to lay out a plan to reduce mortgage payments to help those who are struggling. He'll do that in Arizona, where foreclosures are a big problem. Renee Gattel reports.
Phoenix home prices have dropped a third over the last year. Many families are stuck with homes that are worth less than the mortgage they hold. Some are even resorting to using their credit cards to pay the mortgage. Many struggling homeowners hope President Obama's plan will help reduce their monthly payments. But there are skeptics, people like Anthony Sanders, a finance professor at Arizona State University.
If one foreclosure requires $150,000 to avoid, multiply that times the number of subprime loans, we're talking about a gigantic price tag. So it's a tough nut for Obama to try to crack.
Obama will take a crack at that tough nut when he takes the stage at Dobson High School in Mesa. In Phoenix, I'm Renee Gattel for Marketplace.
Some stocks are starting the day in positive territory. Others not so much. Markets are up here stateside. The Dow is up about 0.25%. NASDAQ up about 0.5%. Europe is down at this hour. And Asian markets closed mixed. The Nikkei was down. Hong Kong was up.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting Women Heart and its efforts to address the number one killer of women in the United States, heart disease. MedtronicFoundation.org. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
General Electric reports its CEO, Jeff Immelt, is giving up his giant bonus. Immelt could have gotten $12 million in performance-based pay. The company's board is keeping his salary at $3.3 million a year. Immelt is still entitled to performance share units, which can be converted into GE stock. The Federal Reserve says industrial production fell 1.8% last month. Some of that is attributable to auto plant closings and a stymied auto industry. The Obama administration continues to look at what it can do. GM and Chrysler, meantime, are asking for more money, about $22 billion in additional help from the government. To get it, they're going to have to convince the administration's auto team it's the best course of action. From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
President Obama's car task force includes Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner and Ron Blum, a former consultant to the United Steelworkers of America. They'll have to decide whether to honor GM and Chrysler's request for more government bailout money or to drive the companies into bankruptcy or liquidation. Professor Jack Donahue at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government says the team's first question should be,
what's the public benefit versus the public cost of trying to save these companies? The tough thing is that Americans are used to being sentimental about their cars and about their car companies. We can't imagine a future without Chevy, without Dodge.
But he says now is no time to get sentimental. The White House has said that more will be required of creditors, suppliers, labor, and auto executives. And GM and Chrysler have promised more pain, 50,000 more job cuts, more reductions in U.S. plants and car brands. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
The purpose, of course, of all these plans and loans is to bolster American car making. But commentator Robert Reich has thoughts about what that really means.
It's said that America can't afford to lose its auto industry. But the big three are shrinking so fast, cutting payrolls and shutting factories, that we're already losing much of GM, Ford, and Chrysler. Last year, GM said it may have to cut its U.S. workforce by a whopping 30,000 and has planned to qualify for additional bailout money foresees a company that's a miniature of its former self. But why should we assume that the big three constitute the American auto industry anyway? Foreign-owned automakers producing cars here in the United States now employ directly or indirectly hundreds of thousands of Americans. And at the rate the big three are shrinking, even if they're bailed out, foreign automakers may soon employ more Americans than the big three. Meanwhile, the big three have gone global. A Pontiac G8, shipped by GM from Australia, contains far less American labor than a BMW X5, assembled in the United States. General Motors' European subsidiaries include Opel and Saab. Ford also has operations around the world. It even owns Volvo. I'm not arguing against an auto bailout, but its purpose ought to be to help American auto workers keep their jobs, regardless of whether they work for GM or Toyota or anyone else. Or if they lose their jobs, help them get new ones that pay almost as well. Yet we seem to be on the road to doing exactly the opposite, paying the big three billions of taxpayer dollars to keep them afloat while they cut tens of thousands of American jobs and slash wages. We're transferring money from taxpayers to big three shareholders for no apparent reason other than the big three are headquartered in America. Let's get real. The big three have blown it for years, designing cars that an increasing number of Americans don't want to buy. This fierce downturn is pushing them toward reorganization under bankruptcy. There's no reason for taxpayers to foot any of this bill unless the big three agree to keep their workers employed while they try to turn themselves around. The American auto industry is not the big three. It's Americans who make automobiles.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. And our online host and blogger Scott Jagow writes about this, about McDonald's online. The fast food giant is hoping to make its McNuggets a major hit in China. The company plans to open about 500 stores there over the next 3 years. McDonald's has fared better than many in this economic fallout. In China, the most popular eats there at McDonald's include the Filet-O-Fish, double cheeseburger, McPuff, which we think is a pizza, and the Mala pork burger. Yummy. Thanks for being with us in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.